Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do you do?
Vacation, came back ready to start the show last week. I was in the studios and I ended up having a little bit of health issues, so I had to cancel the show. And but now we're back. This is Ryan, back in the saddle. I'm gonna give a shout out to my partners Kristen and Amber. I hope they're doing okay. I think Amber's gonna call in later on the second half of the show, so we'll be able to talk to her, which is good, and hope Kristen's having a good day and everything. So, but now it's just me for right now, and try to do the best I can for you guys. You know, gotta keep you guys happy. You know, that's it. Not much going on as far in my life, really. I mean, like I said, I went on vacation down in North Carolina for a week. That was fun, you know, hanging out down there, you know, getting some sun, hanging out by the pool, you know, relaxing. And then, like you said, last week was just a freak occurrence. I couldn't talk, I couldn't breathe, so I had to go to the hospital, and turns out I have a little bit of an enlarged heart, so you know that kind of blew me away a little bit, but the doctor said I have nothing to worry about, so I'm just going to, you know, take the word for it and go back and get some testing done, and, you know, we'll get it figured out. So, yeah, that's what's going on. I mean, like I said, I wish I had more exciting stuff to say. I got to spend some time with my daughter and stuff this, you know, past week and everything, and went to a baseball game Saturday night, and then Sunday we went crabbing up on the Chesapeake Bay in the Northern Neck area, so that was fun. Other than that, it's been kind of slow. You know, it's slow summertime, you know, it's too hot to do much of anything. We've got a guest online, Holly Mullins, and maybe a few people from Black Mountain Paranormal are going to join me on the show, and I think I might have Holly on the hold right here. Let me see if she's on there. Holly. Hello? Oh, yeah. Hello? Oop, wrong one. See, this is what happens when I have to try to do a show by myself. You know, I need my partners because they help me out. I just put someone online I wasn't supposed to put online. See? Yeah. That's what happens when I try to do stuff by myself. Hopefully, it will go more smoothly once, you know, take 2 weeks off. You kind of lose your touch a little bit. So anyways, all right, well then I will read an article I found online. I know if you guys who watch Ghost Adventures, back, I think it was season 2 of Ghost Adventures, they went to Tombstone, the Birdcage Theater, and they met a guy, they interviewed a guy there, and apparently he was killed last week in a gunfight. Not only a gunfight, I think I kind of just gunned him down. I got an article right here. One of the most haunted places in the world has lost one of its most beloved employees this week. Lightning Leroy worked out theater for nearly 2 decades. He was shot and killed in the street yesterday afternoon, the Arizona Daily Star reported today. Leroy Colony was the manager of the Birdcage Theater in Tombstone, Arizona. The 74-year-old was featured on Ghost Adventures in 2009, when Zach Bagans and the Ghost Adventures crew conducted a paranormal investigation of the location. According to a spokesman from the Cochise County Sheriff's Department, Colony was confronted by Barry Chapel just after 1 p.m. yesterday. So this guy shoots this guy in the middle of the street in Tombstone in the middle of the afternoon. It's like, I don't know, like high noon shit. The two men had an argument outside of Safford Street. Chapel pulled out a handgun and allegedly shot Colony. Colony was shot multiple times and died in the street. All right. So you're middle of the day. You have an argument with the guy. And you decide to pull a gun and shoot him multiple times. I mean, what the hell could he be arguing about when you need to shoot him, like, that many times? It makes no sense to me, anyways. I mean, you realize this isn't the Wild West. Chapel didn't realize that. Chapel eventually went into a business on Allen Street and informed the desk clerk on duty that he had just shot someone and then to call the police. The clerk called 911, and Chapel was arrested by the Tombstone Marshal outside on Allen Street in front of the Birdcage Theater. Everybody in Tombstone loved him. Never heard anything bad said about him. They might say something bad about other people, but I've never heard anything bad about Leroy. I said about Leroy. He was just a likable person, Birdcage owner William Hunley said. It was uncertain what the two men were arguing about. Colony wasn't the type of person to have enemies. Everyone in the tourist town loved him and was considered a friend to everyone in town. Well, I mean, it's sad that he got shot. And he, you know, multiple times. I'd be interested to see what they were arguing about to make the guy go off like that. Very sad to see someone in the paranormal community. Well, I don't know if I'll call him part of the paranormal community. I don't know if he was, he was on Ghost Adventures, but you know, I don't know if he was. I guess you call him part of the paranormal community, small part at least. I have somebody on the line. Three people online. All right, I'm gonna put them all on and see who I'm talking to here. Hello.
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 Hey. How are you guys doing?
Hey, it's Holly.
I'm
Ryan.
Dallas.
Who else
is here? I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. And who else is here?
This is Michelle.
Michelle, how you doing?
And
who else?
I'm doing good.
Sorry. That's good, good, good. So, I got three people on the line. I've heard two of them. Is there anybody else?
No,
Dallas.
Dallas, okay. All right.
Hey.
All right. All right. So how are you guys doing today?
We are good.
Doing
good.
Good. Good, good. I think I put someone on before. I don't know if they weren't ready or if I put the wrong person on, but I think I screwed up a little bit when the show first started. But we're back on track, so everything's good to go. You know, you take a 2-week break, you know, you just kind of forget things.
Yeah, you get off key a little bit. That's okay. I'll hold up a little bit.
You guys have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We had the case, and Michelle was camping. Tell them about your camping trip, Michelle.
It rained and rained and rained.
You know, that's funny, because I was a Boy Scout when I was a kid, and every time I went camping with the Boy Scouts, it was either snowing or raining. Every time I went, so I feel for you.
Yeah, that rain, man. It's either, you might as well, if you're sleeping in a tent like Michelle was, you might as well just get out in the stuff and roll it in and sleep in it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got to bring it back at the beginning, then you got to bring the mud back in your tent, everything smells all mildewy and shit. Yeah, it's not fun.
Exactly.
You're going to bring back memories. I'm going to, go to bed, wake up in a cold sweat, so I'll be thinking about mildewy tents. Bugs falling all over me.
That's funny.
So where'd you go camping?
In Holly Bay. It's in Laurel County, Kentucky.
Okay. Was it a big group of people?
Okay,
going,
she's trying to be y'all.
Shush it. It was a family camping trip.
Those are always fun, I think, maybe,
oh, yeah.
Depending on, yeah. Some family
yeah.
camping trips are not fun at all, you know. So, you guys all are in Black Mountain Paranormal?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Yep.
Sweet. So I'm gonna ask you guys some questions. You guys each give me the answer, you know.
Okay.
You know, how did you guys, you know, each one of you get into the paranormal field?
Who wants to go first?
I'll let you go first, Holly.
Okay. I'll go first, of course. They throw
okay.
me into the same time. Well, I've always been into the paranormal ever since I was little. I grew up with my grandparents telling stories, as most of us did. And I really didn't have paranormal experiences until I was a teenager. I was probably about 16 when I started first having out-of-body experiences, and I didn't know at first that's what it was. But later on, down the road, when I was 26, I was pregnant with my youngest son, and it just came full blown. I had already been into paranormal and done researching into it, at that point, we had been talking about having a group then, but it just wasn't mm-hmm. coming together. I was living in South Carolina at the time, and everybody else was up here, so it didn't pan out, but I started looking more into my experiences. It was quite the ride, and now it's a lot more manageable, and I don't have it as much as it used to, and I'm moving on to more things, but I started awakening, and now I realize that more than ever, looking back on it, I can see a lot clearer.
Wow. So you were in South Carolina, then you moved up to Virginia?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Virginia, but we had moved down there. My husband was in the Air Force, so we were stationed down there.
I got you. Well, tell him I said thank you for your service, for sure.
I will do. He's our tech guy, so.
Oh, well, you know, if he's listening to the show, thank you for your service.
He won't listen. But I'll tell him.
appreciate that.
Yeah. Last year we, I met Michelle, and she's helped a lot with me awakening and dealing with abilities and stuff like that, because I really didn't know where to put that energy, and I was kind of lost, you know, because you get to a certain point when you're awakening, you know you have this path you're on, and you're just not sure what to do from there. And I went through that, and I was like, nobody's around to help me, so it was like, ugh. But, you know, of course, I look back on it now, and I'm like, okay, you know, that was all part of the lesson. And I met Michelle, and she has helped me in Dallas so much, and it's been going from there. It's been going really good. Like, I feel like for once in my life, I'm like, okay, like, I don't have any worries about, you know, everything else. Spiritually, I feel great.
Well, it's great to have that person to talk to so you don't feel like you're by yourself, and someone who will listen, you know, and say, this is fine. You know, you're doing good. Just, you know, keep on with what you're doing or give you pointers.
Right. Like, she has guided me so much, yeah. Like, she knew exactly how I felt and what I was going through. Of course, she's a physical medium, too, so.
That helps, too. Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, that's pretty much why I got into the paranormal and why I'm passionate about it. Helping these families is number one for me. It just, I don't know. I get personal growth out of it, I guess, learning myself because, you know, we still don't know everything, and that's why we do what we do, and not only to help families, but to figure out what is on the other side.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever know everything, to be honest with you, you know. It's one
no,
of those
that
things.
Sucks.
We just keep learning new stuff every day, you know.
Exactly, because I want to be one of those people that know everything. I'm like, I want to know. I'm nosy. I've got to know.
Exactly. As soon as you think you know everything, something else pops up. You're like, oh, well, okay, that just kind of screwed everything. I thought I knew. All right, let's go down this path now.
Well, you know, if you look at it, the people that think they know are these people that try to cram their religion down your throat. And the people that don't know are like, I don't really know, you know. I know there's a bigger scene than this, you know.
Yeah, stay away from people who think they know everything because they don't.
They don't know.
They think they know. They know everything they know, but they don't know everything, you know.
Right. Well, it's fear. It's based on fear. They don't want to think that there is something else. I mean, that's, I don't
get
it.
You get
it,
something crammed into your psyche, like ever since you were a kid, this is a certain way. You live in this box. This is how, what you see is what you get. There's nothing else out there.
Right.
You know, and it's hard to break away from that. Even myself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I
can
see
it's like one thing
that.
Oh, really? I've always questioned things. It's weird. And, you know, I come from, you know, well, we're here in the Appalachian Mountains. We're Southwest Virginia. Everybody goes to church and all that. But, you know, I did as a kid. Every kid did. We always dressed up in our Sunday best and went with our grandparents to church. And it scared me. I think all kids, it scares them. But, I feel like like I said, like everything that I've gone through in my life, I feel like it kind of has led me to my awakening. And I think if people can find that in themselves, letting go of the ego and kind of just letting go and going with it and finding you, who you really are inside, that's what it is all about.
Well, there's so much out there that we don't see, but it's still out there. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And I think
exactly.
A lot of times people have that, what you see is what you get. And then, you know, people look at us as far as, like, paranormal investigators are like, well, you know, these guys are just freaks. They don't know what they're doing. They're looking for ghosts. Ooh, spooky. And then, you know, it become obvious and real ridicule. But if you open your mind up.
Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, we've come across a few. Everybody in our area is pretty good to us. But they'll joke around with us, and we'll give it right back to them back because, you know what, we can take a joke, you know, and we can give it back to them, too. And most of the ones we get is where our proton packs are. And, you know, I'll make jokes about our
Skibidi
Van and stuff like that. You know, I just go along with it.
Like that stuff.
Exactly. I think it's funny. We just go along with it. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
I guess we'll talk
about, you know. Say, hey, we have a sense of humor about it. That's fine. That's cool. You can believe what you want. You know, obviously we're not going to force.
Yeah, well, see, I'm the kind of person.
You.
I think, you know. Most of the people you find in the paranormal field is easygoing, laid back, and they don't really give a shit, you know? Nothing bothers them, like, because we see things in a different way.
Yeah. Every person I've talked to, every person I've met through paranormal have been, you know, really nice to me. They're very laid back and very willing to teach what they know. They want to teach. They want to talk about it. That's the thing. That's the best part, you know.
Huh.
If you want to learn.
You better sit back and listen.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
So, Dallas or Michelle next?
I can go next.
All right, buddy.
I know Michelle's pretty nervous.
She is. She brushed her teeth before she come on.
I have no idea why, but she brushed her teeth.
I like people with bad breath on my show. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I know.
That's okay. I got a meat in, so it must be something about the breath, right? Go ahead, Dallas. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I've always been intrigued by the paranormal ever since I was a little kid. And we would just run around, me and my cousins would, like, go into these places that were supposedly haunted and looking for ghosts and all that good stuff. And I've had a few experiences, especially when I was younger, that I just kind of wrote off because here in this area or just in society in general, it's not very accepted. So I just kind of brushed it to the side and tried not to think about it. And then the older I got, the more curious about it I was. And luckily, Holly and Gary had already got the Black Mountain Paranormal Society group started, and I just kind of joined in on it. And again, like Holly said, we met Michelle, and she's kind of, I guess she's been more like a mentor or a teacher in trying to help us figure out what our experiences are and, you know, throughout the years what we've been through and what we've seen and, you know, just ciphering through all that. And, you know, once you become more open about it and accepting yourself, the gifts that you have, it's a lot more interesting. And I've always been really pumped and excited about becoming a paranormal investigator. That way we can actually help people with the abilities that we have. And a lot of people are just looking for confirmation, and if we can catch that with all the tools that we use to gather evidence, then, you know, that if I can help one person, then, you know, I feel like my job's been done. So that's kind of how I got into the paranormal field.
Now, when you were a kid, did those experiences, did they scare you, or was just more like, oh, well, that was weird?
Well, not necessarily scared. It just really freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times I would have dreams, like really freaky dreams. And it took a while to figure out, you know, what dreams I was having, what, like, they had, to me, they felt like they had a deeper meaning. And then I would see things, you know, that wasn't there, but they were.
Uh-huh.
The way my family is and in this area, that stuff don't exist. You know, you just don't talk about it. So
like,
I didn't have anybody I could really relate to and talk to it about it.
Now he's with us, and we're out of the closet freaks.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, people, you can imagine, like you guys, how many other people are out there, how many kids are going through the same problems that you guys went through, and they have no one to talk to. But at least nowadays, it's, I don't know if it's, you know, accepted more, but I'm, you know, there should be like support groups or something for children who are going through this.
I agree, and we have started one. We have actually, we had our first meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
The group's been together for almost 3 years now, and
uh-huh.
I was like, you know what, kids are really, like, I love kids, and
yeah.
We had our first meet and greet, and it was just really for anybody that wanted to come, but a lot
yeah.
of our families came, and
yeah.
we got to meet a new family, and their daughter is very, 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 what shall I say, blessed, gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Miss Emily. I'll give her a shout out because she's probably listening because she loves the paranormal.
All right.
And we're working
what
with her.
Noise?
And
yeah.
we, yes. And we're working with her family, and her family was, you know, it was just an instant connection for us because they had nowhere to turn because they are Christians,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to turn around to the Christian community and ask for help because they just, it's not fair. It don't exist.
Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of...
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening to you talk,
I didn't want to take nobody's thunder. I got blabbermouth. They know I do.
No, it's fine. Just a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of people are scared to come out and admit that they have problems because they're afraid of being called freaks. They're afraid of being laughed at. Just like any kind of problem, it's like an abusive relationship. If you don't get help, you know, the problem won't solve itself, you know?
No, it
well,
don't, and, you know, they, go ahead.
I was going to say, another issue is, too, is it's just, if you look at paranormal theory and everything, that
mm-hmm.
a lot of people, some people that have paranormal experiences that are experiencing poltergeist activity, really, basically, what's happening is they have abilities, and they're ignoring those abilities, and those abilities, they're manifesting somehow, and they have to put that energy somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like you put a pot on a stove, you push it to boil. Pretty soon, you leave it on the stove for so long, it's going to boil over. Your
yeah.
abilities are boiling over out of you, and you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and
you
I think that's one of, you know,
that.
One of the theories about the poltergeist activity, too. But a lot of times, in my experience, people that have abilities, they have
mm-hmm.
things that are happening to them, but it's really that somebody that's trying to communicate with them, like a family member or something, and they're not
yeah.
listening. They're ignoring it. And I tell people all the time,
yeah.
spirits are like little kids. If you ignore them for so long, they're going to act out and do something to get your attention.
Yeah,
so it's not
Chris,
all paranormal
you know, have a hard time
negative.
Communicating. They can't communicate like we do. Like,
that's
you know,
true.
Tap you on the shoulder and start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh.
And it's frustrating, I know. Like, even working with people, I know Michelle, she works with a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
a lot of our, not just clients, just people who have found us, because once people find someone with the same, you know, beliefs, and not even beliefs, just the same outwardness and, you know, willingness to learn about everything, I mean, they're automatically attracted to you because, hey, I found one of me. And, you know, they feel
exactly.
very comfortable about talking about it. With
yeah.
the kids that we're working with, their parents are awesome. Like, we
mm-hmm.
have not ran across a parent that is not, they're not educated fully, But that's what we're doing. I mean, we're even going into their house one-on-one doing sessions, trying to, you know, help the kids. But for sure, I agree with Michelle on that.
Oh, definitely. I agree with her, too. But, you know, Alex and Michelle, first question, how did you get into the paranormal field?
Well, I've had experiences ever since that I was little. The first actual one that I remember is being followed when I was about 8 years old.
Being followed?
And, yeah, I was... We lived on a gravel road out in the country because I'm not like Holly in Dallas. I'm not from Virginia. I'm from Kentucky. And,
oh, you're from Kentucky. All right.
Yeah.
She's from Kentucky.
yeah, I'm from Kentucky. And anyway, I was walking home one night from my aunt's house. It was really not that far, and it was a gravel road, and I could hear somebody walking behind me. And I thought it was an uncle or my cousin or somebody because I knew I was a big chicken back then.
Yeah.
And so I stopped and I turned and looked, and there was nobody behind me. And so I thought, well, it's just my imagination, you know, I'm in the anyway. And so I kept walking, and I could hear it walking behind me again. Well, I stopped and I turned around, nothing there. So then I was walking at this point a little bit faster, and then I don't know what, I just stopped. But when I stopped this time, the footsteps didn't stop, and I felt, I wore my hair in pigtails. And I felt and heard a hot breath on the back of my neck. And needless to say, I ran all the way home, and I was terrified when I got home. And I told my mom what had happened. And I guess I'm one of the fortunate ones that my mom didn't think I was crazy, and she didn't think it was an overactive imagination. She just told me not to be afraid of those things, and she believed me. And I think that was a big thing there, because I knew I could tell my mom anything at that point, because here's something that's totally crazy that I could tell my mom, and she believed me. And then whether or not
that is a big help,
you know.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was talking to her about that incident today, and I said, you know, I said that was a big deal for me at 8 years old, that I knew that was a big deal, that my mom believed me. She wasn't trying to pacify me. She actually believed that, you know, I had that experience. And then it was just little experiences like that I've had. I saw full-body apparitions when I was in high school. You know, I've always had these experiences, and I've always just been fascinated, and I'm a science person, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the science aspect of it, like the actual research part of it, really, I don't know, my mind works overtime sometimes. And so it's just like it's a new field of study, you know, to me, I think in the scientific way as well.
Yeah.
And I have that dilemma sometimes as, you know, a person with abilities and trying to think scientific and making sure that we're ruling out anything that's not paranormal, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, distinguish between the two.
But, I mean, that's a good way to do it, because if, you know, if you look at the evidence and you try to find every single possibility that it could be to make it not paranormal, and you can't think of any other reason, and you come and finally settle that it's got to be paranormal, people will take it more seriously than if you just like, oh, it's got to be a ghost. I saw something, saw a shadow. My house must be haunted. They're like, no. Let's look at each possibility and eliminate each one and see what we come up with.
Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
I guess probably because of my abilities, I've always been interested in the paranormal because I've, you know, seen shows on TV and I'm in like, I have those same experiences that these people are having. I've experienced similar things, you know. But that's how I got involved. And then I met Holly online, actually.
Really?
Yeah, we were online dating.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I liked the Black Mountain Paranormal Society page, and she posted something on there, and I was asking her questions, and we just got to talking, and then I met up with them one night, and it's just been on since then. So,
yes, it's been on my Donkey Kong.
Yep. What's
going on?
The group, I was going to tell you that real quick, that how we all, like, how the group formed. Gary, which is not on here tonight, big shout-out to Gary.
Okay.
He's our video guy, co-founder, and our video editor. He, He was actually working on a horror film because he is really into the horror scene, and he was filming a short film, and I was helping him on that. And we sat down, and I was like, well, I don't want to stop from here. I was like, listen, you know, here's what I know about the paranormal, and this is something I'd love to do if you're interested. So we started from there, and that was 2012, and we're about to hit 3 years. Well, no, late 2011, right? But yeah, something like that. Anyway, yeah. We have been going ever since, and we've had, you know, I think it's constantly been me, Gary, and JC, our tech guy. And then Dallas came on last year, and Michelle came on this year.
Well, so how many people are in the group right now?
I think there is seven of us guys.
Right?
Oh, somewhere about seven.
I have to count them.
I do too. I'm like, how many is that?
Who are some of your influences as far as paranormal field is concerned?
Like,
go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, just people that I think everybody and their brothers started watching Ghost Hunters. So you look at those, I looked at those guys as the way that they conducted their investigations. I thought that was, you know, whatever. Zach Bagans, to me, and I don't think a lot of people have issues with Ghost Adventures, but he has a book out. And I think if people really read that book, they kind of change their mind. That changed my mind about him. But Zach Bagans is a big one. And, of course, people like Amy Allen and Chip Coffee. And so those people are my biggest influences.
I've actually read Zach Bagans' book. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it changed my whole perspective of how I looked at Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of ghost shows, and people look at me like, oh, you're Ghost Hunter. Don't you watch like everyone else? I'm like, no, but, you know, I really, really look up to Chip Coffee and his work in Psychic Kids. Going back to what we're doing, you know, now, but in Paranormal State, I love the way they conducted their investigations, and everybody looks up to the Warrens. Hello.
Yeah, that's true.
But for me, you know, it's funny because people think you have to be on TV to be looked up to, but, you know, I look up to Michelle. I look up to Everyday Joe. I look up to some of our clients because it's just, I don't know. It's the energy they put out. And just, I don't know the connections. But, yeah, there are some influences. Like Michelle said, I think we all started out watching Scooby-Doo.
Yes, Shaggy and Scooby were big influences on my paranormal.
I know.
For sure.
It's like their techniques are awesome.
That's why I always think Shaggy is going to go on investigations.
We have a fan question, and they've been message me and tell me to look. It's actually from one of our good friends, Kelly Mooney, from Alton, KY, and she wants to know what kind of protection or anything that we do before investigations for protection.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Well,
I'll throw you on the bus.
I figured you were. I texted Dallas that earlier. I said, Holly's going to throw me under the bus. I think I go about it a little bit differently because of my spiritual path, because I'm not a Christian. I'm a pagan because I hate to use the word Wiccan because I'm not truly Wiccan. But so I definitely make sure that I meditate and I ground myself. And I've tried to instill that into especially Holly and Dallas, that they meditate and ground themselves. Also, that we shield ourselves psychically when we go into places.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you just really never know what you're going into, especially me, because I try to know as little bit about a case as I can beforehand. And I think Holly has an amethyst that she wears, and I wear an amethyst. So I've got protection tactics that I'm making up for everybody. So, I mean, you know, it's just simple. To me, it's little things like that. Prayer would be a good one, too, because I know that there are some people that are more Christian-oriented in our group. I don't care at all. I think we all kind of say a little prayer of some sort that, you know, we all be protected and safe in our adventures. Whatever.
And we always leave them at the door when we leave.
That's the biggest thing that you can do is just, you know, protect yourself psychically when you go into a place. Because there's nothing really you can do to protect yourself physically.
It's like this
other than
too,
go in there with like a SWAT team uniform on or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this too, and this is what I've really seen. Like, and I really believe full-heartedly. We visited Bobby Mackey's. What was it, guys? Back in March.
April.
Mm-hmm. Was it March? April.
It was. It was April.
We visited down there.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it was your birthday present. And yeah. And not only that case, but a lot of others, because we've had some pretty intense cases that people, I think if you're vulnerable, if you have that and your guard down, I think that you're like a target for things. I definitely believe that. You know, Michelle's saying to put up your shield, and that's something I teach the kids too, or you know, I'm
yeah.
like, I put myself inside my pink pretty bubble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think will is a big thing. I go in cases like, you know, respectful, but I'm also like, listen, you know, I've got my stuff up. Don't even go there. I might talk to the hand, kind of go center.
Yeah. You need some of the places you go to, you need pretty much need all the help you can get from spiritual wise.
Right. And
I mean,
we do. We are
coming
like,
at you hardcore. They want to fuck with you. You know. And
yeah,
if you don't
and
have
Michelle
your
gets
up,
most of the. Michelle gets most of the physical things because of who she is. And for her, she is almost a target, and that's why she has to be protected. A lot more than, I guess, per se us.
Because the spirits knew what they're dealing with her.
Exactly. They know you before you come. And that's our clients are like, some of the activities picked up since, like, last night or the day before. Because like, they know we're coming. Honey, they know our names. Dallas, you want to go ahead and...
What's that?
Dallas?
Yes.
We're talking about protection.
Oh, yeah. I wear my rosary usually. And
this is something I also instill in our clients. I'm like, listen, it is not the cross. It is not the pentagram. It's whatever you hold, you can hold up a tote rock. If that's what you believe in and that's what you put your faith in, honey, that's going to work. Because what you put your faith in is what matters.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be religious. It could be anything, really. Just, you know,
exactly.
As long as you believe
exactly.
in it.
Exactly. I mean, that's like me. Yeah. I consider myself spiritual. So whenever anybody asks, you know, I'm like, I'm spiritual, and I embrace a little bit of everything. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just, I guess, I love everybody. That's what they call me online all the time, Hippie Holly, but it's all good.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's hard when you go into a location and you're not protected, and then you come back and you have stuff that's attached to you. You're like, oh shit, where did this come from? So it's always good to.
Right.
Yeah.
Dallas has experience with that.
That's something
with
that really. What did you say, Michelle?
I said Dallas had an attachment recently.
I did.
Oh, really? Enlighten me.
I had recently came back from Williamsburg, Virginia, and we were downtown in Colonial Williamsburg, and we had done one of these cheesy little ghost tours, and I'm not trying to take anything away from their tours because they're really, really cool, and they tell some really
mm-hmm.
awesome stories, but they don't get down into the nitty-gritty like real ghost hunters. And the place truly is like extremely haunted. There's like so many things that have happened and so much activity, and when you're there, I mean, if you have any kind of abilities, then you can just feel the hairs on your arms and the back of your neck stand up. But anyway, me and my buddy Nathan were chilling at his house, and we were sitting there after the tour, and just out of nowhere the iPod comes on. It's in the docking station, and the iPod just kicks on blasting some music that that hadn't been played in a long time on that iPod. So this older gentleman was trying to get my attention, and I was I was totally not paying any attention, just enjoying my little vacation. And then he's made it back to Kentucky too,
or
Virginia, our little area.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So, when you got back home, what kind of stuff was happening at the house to know you brought an attachment home with you?
I got Michelle to kind of look into it just to confirm, but you know he's not with me like all the time, but he's around, and I think he's trying to get my attention. I've not figured him out yet. I don't know if Michelle's thought any more about it or not, but. We're trying to get to the bottom of it.
Well,
so
you
think he's around tonight? Because I'm kind of getting that vibe over here.
No, it's probably his little girl. His little girls are there with him, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, my hands are on fire. My hands, Holly. Holla. They make fun of me. I make fun of myself, but it's like part of the process. I ain't figured it out yet, but my hands heat up.
Your hands heat up when? When your hands heat up?
It's like whenever a spirit's around.
Yeah, I call Holly our natural, like actual ghost detector, because as soon as I start to feel like something's around, Holly's like, hands are hot. My hands are hot. So,
tested it. It's like they run like way past the norm, and you know, and it gradually go down, and I'm not to the point where I can just automatically look over and say, "What do you want?" You know, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want, because I'm
like
that. I'm like, listen, I want to know now. Tell me right now. But I have a lot of things going on in my dreams. I mean, I've had dreams before cases and go to that case, and I'm like, bam, it hits you. You know that show Raven? I feel like her sometimes with
that. That's the Raven?
Like, yeah.
From Raven.
Yeah.
The one, that's Holly? Is that what it is then? That's so Holly.
That's so Holly. No, the hot hands are. It's so funny. Dallas works at Lowe's, and they had this hot hand stuff for, like, winter, and he edited it and put hot hands Holly. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I've got a caller who wants to come on and ask a question real quick.
Okay. Cool.
Hello, you're on the air.
Evening, ladies. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good.
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you. Quick question I have is pertaining to your burning hands just a minute ago.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a possibility that the spirits or entities are actually interacting with your personal energy and your actual energy life force inside your body? In other words, your kinetic energy?
You know, I've been researching it for a while, and me and Michelle and others have really talked about it. And, you know, we've been through a possibility of energy. You know, that's why they're heating up, is because the spirit is in my zone, in my bubble, but no, I haven't. But that's awesome for you to come on and talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell
you
how it happened. And once I started having my awakening, I started meditating. And that was the first time I had started meditating. And this was just last year. And about into my third session of meditation, my hands heated up. And then after that, I started asking everybody. And they're like, I don't know. So I start researching online, and I see things about healers, and I also see things. And it was mostly in healers with their hands heating up. So I'm still at a complete loss, I guess.
Well, I think that what Holly did was tapped into her own personal energy. And being a science person and a person with abilities, I definitely think that everything and everything has energy. So definitely these spirits possess an energy, and if any time that there's a transfer of energy, that you're going to have a change in temperature. But I think too, it's partly that, and it's partly that. It's kind of like people that get the goosebumps with the hair standing up on their head. That's Holly's reacting that there's. That's how her body
it's like
and,
a signal,
and in her
you know?
Mind, that's how she notices that paranormal energy, that spirit energy.
Well, you know what's so funny about it too, and after I started thinking about it, I'm like, okay, I go in Walmart, oh boy, and everybody knows, if you're empathic, you know about Walmart. Well, I go in Walmart, and it's not just my hands, it starts from my feet, and it starts in my hands, and like right now my hands are pretty hot, so that's why I asked Dallas if that spirit was still around. Because
cool.
It's so funny because what I tend to do is go into remote view, and I don't mean to, but like if they're talking about a case, if they're talking about a spirit, I automatically go into remote view, and we've had some situations where I've accidentally seen things I wasn't supposed to and all that, but yeah, it's pretty funny.
Thanks, Holly.
I won't tell my story.
I didn't say Dallas, but you just told on yourself.
But I think too that Holly's just coming into her abilities really, and she's not learned how to master them all yet. We're just now getting her at the point of real good meditation, I think.
She's my Mr. Miyagi. I'm the karate kid. No, but all seriousness, I don't know. None of it scares me. I've been through pretty intense situations with out-of-body experiences. I've seen things that I'll probably send people that don't know what's going on into a breakdown, I guess, but... some of the things that I've seen, I've had to really research it and look at other people's experiences, and it's all there, like the vibrations. I've seen creatures when I'm in between. I've not even been completely out, but that's how I knew. It was almost like a crack into my ability. So when I started meditating, it really started pouring in because right after that, and I didn't intentionally do it, but I helped a client that had a grandmother around her, and she thought this was a bad, mean spirit around her. And I, like any investigator, you start the questions. You don't. The first thing you do is not go with your abilities. You go with your questions, because in the field, whatever you feel, whatever you see, cannot be explained. You know, you just can't prove it unless you have some kind of history there in front of you. And with paranormal investigating, that's what we have to do. We have to prove and get the proof.
That's very true. You know, it's... you're right. The burden of proof is on you. You've got to prove that exists, you know, because... Yeah, it's, you can't see it, and you got to have the proof.
Yeah, well, that's what I say too. Is that, you know, even though that I'm pretty confident in my abilities, that when we go into a client's home, that everything that I see, hear, sense, feel, is really just a personal experience, unless we have evidence to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Is there another question you have? Hello.
Hello.
All right. So you guys, I know Holly didn't really watch paranormal TV shows. How about Michelle and Dallas? Do you guys watch any of the shows that are on now?
Go ahead, Dallas.
I've watched Ghost Hunters, and I enjoy watching it, and mm-hmm. I can relate to those guys, and I've actually met them in person. Me and my brother Gary, that's part of the group. We go to a horror and paranormal convention every year in Lexington, Kentucky, and we've met those guys and we've talked to them, and we've met like Deep South Paranormal. We've spoken with Chip Coffey. We've talked to Zach Bagans, Aaron Goodwin, Josh Gates, and I think they really do a good job as far as documenting, you know, their investigation. The only thing that I hate about TV is they embellish it for the viewers. I think they dress things up a little too much, and they build it up dramatically when there's nothing actually there.
Exactly.
That's my only fault against that, but I can understand that.
Definitely.
For their TV. For their
see, that's my thing, too. Sorry.
As far as TV programs go, really what I watch right now is Ghost Adventures and The Dead Files. And when The Dead Files first came on the air, I was so excited because I was, like, finally a person that experiences things like I experience them.
I've never watched it.
I've never met another person that actually can physically feel things. And
I gave me Alan.
Yeah, like, that's a big thing for me is that, you know, and I really, when I first started, because I found out I figured out I was an empath when I was working in the plumbing department at Lowe's, and I couldn't understand my mood swings and my actual physical reactions to things that were going
on. That's why
she was
in the shooter section.
Yeah. And so my teacher helped me figure out, you know, that's what I was. I was an empath. And then I just one day was like, I wonder if I can do this with, like, pictures and objects. So I actually had the skill of psychometry. So I work really good with, like, pictures and objects. And then I was doing readings, and I was like, okay, I feel this, and I could, like, physically feel it. But it's taken me a while to kind of build up, I call it my dictionary, so that I know exactly what I'm feeling is the difference between pneumonia and a heart attack or stuff like that. So when the Dead Files came on, I was really excited because I thought, you know, here's somebody that's almost just like me.
Someone you can relate to.
Yes.
I love watching. Okay. I mean, I've never watched a show, and I've been wanting to because everybody's like, "Holly, you don't watch it?" And I'm like, I look at him like I'm a little kid getting scalded or something. I love documentaries. I don't know, and I'm not like a book person. I'm not a reader. I just can't. I'm like, I got ADD. They know I do. I'm like here, there, everywhere. Even if I'm having a conversation, I'll change up the conversation in the middle of it. But I don't know. I love documentaries. There's one on Netflix right now. That's still on there, and I really love it because it kind of shows this guy awakens, and he full on sees everything, angels, demons, spirits, whatever, it comes, it goes, he sees it. And he was brought up in Georgia in a very Christian household, and he's going through the journey trying to find himself. And at the end, he does this, he goes out with Native Americans, and he does a sweat lodge and all this, and he has a vision finally, and it's a big circus tent, and there's an arrow pointing to that tent saying, and he said, I got it. He said, all these arrows point to the same place. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, that is totally true.
We need to take a break right now.
Okay.
So it's a half-hour break. We'll be back in, like, 5 minutes. And we'll talk about your evidence, what you've been able to catch so far. Okay?
Okay, awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, automatic freezing full effect. You ready, Ron? I'm ready. You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick, are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down. Girl, I must warn you. Yo, situation is serious. Let's kill it cause we're running out of time.
Tell them, Rick.
It's all so
beautiful.
Relationships they seem from the start.
Yeah.
It's all so
deadly.
When love is not together from the heart. Figure it out.
Yeah.
That girl is
for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the locations and you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
Okay, and we're back with Black Mountain Paranormal. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are good. I'm getting my coffee on, so I'm good.
Well, that's good. Now, I'd like to go into the stuff you've been able to catch, your evidence and stuff you've been able to catch. So this next hour will be about all about what you've been able to catch as far as evidence is concerned. So what are some of your best cases?
Is that me? Is that my cue? Everybody's
That's your
so
cue,
quiet. Well, I'm excited because we are about to go reinvestigate the Wise Inn, well, the Inn at Wise here in Southwest Virginia. And it's over 100 years old. It accommodated some pretty big actors. I think Sissy Spacek, gosh, there's so many to mention. They are renovating it, and it is set to be renovated here in September, but we investigated it, was it last year, guys? Was it last year or year before? Year before, I don't know.
Maybe year before.
Yeah, year before. We investigated there, and we felt like very honored to even be in there because we were the first investigators to be in there. And what got us, I don't know, I guess it's because of the history of the place that gets me, and it's one of our top haunted places. But we actually got an EVP of two spirits interacting, and I think you heard that one, Ron.
Oh, yeah, I think I did. That was pretty neat.
Yeah. We was working with a very, very awesome medium. She is actually a school teacher and does her stuff under the table. You know, she don't really like to have her name out there because of her teaching. But she was working with us on that case at the time, and she's just as awesome as Michelle is to me, but very sweet lady. But she was working on a case with us. When we captured the EVPs, they was captured in what was known as the tap room. And going into the Wise Inn, honestly, it's like stepping back into a portal of time. You know, you go back in time, and it's almost like spiritually this thing is still working, you know. The workers there, ever since they have been working on it, they are actually foreigners. And they will not go in singles in their work zone. They team up because they don't want to be left alone. The Wise Inn is, it's a big renovation, and they're trying to keep as much as the original structure and everything the way it is, which they have, but they have added on and busted out walls, so we all know what that means in a place like this. We're set back to go in September, and we're not completely sure of how we're going to do it yet and how the Inn wants to proceed with it, because on this case, we actually made front page of our newspaper. It's not the local, but it was like a Times News. We made front page of that on a Sunday, too, so yay!
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
And I think I had talked to you. I was like, you know, you said any time that we wanted you guys to come out, that'd be awesome time to do it, because this place is huge. We're talking like two groups kind of huge. But
wow.
These workers are experiencing things out there, and all of them men out there working, so half of them are believers and scared shitless, and the rest of them are like, oh, you know, just shoving it under the rug. But we're excited to get back in there. That is one. That's our baby, we call it. And around here, we don't have any haunted attractions. We are from West Virginia, and I know I told you when you heard our voice, you was going to shit. Because he's like, no. I went to Radford. Now, was you expecting this, that?
Do what? I'm sorry.
I said, was you expecting it to be this bad?
Well, no. I mean, it's I never been to the Wise
Nobody's ever been to Wise County, honey. It's like, and that's something that as our group, I want to bring attention to our area. And see, last year we got to hold ghost tours for our area, and that meant a lot to us because, and this was funny because it's two locations that the John Fox Jr. Museum. He was an author, and this was his summer home. And the other one, June Tolliver home, and that is a home that they've both made into museums now, but they were both used as homes at one time. But we held ghost tours there last year. For us, that was the first, and we were so nervous. But, you know, luckily we got through it, and everything went really good, and everybody was really pleased with the work that we did. But that kind of opened things for us. But we had made paper a few times before that. And for us, I know to a lot of people it's not a big thing, but for us it is a big thing because it's the paranormal and in our area. And I know I can say that a million times, but you won't understand until you step back over here where we are. And but I feel like opportunities have opened up a lot more. But I also think that to all the paranormal groups out there, that's listening, even if you're small, look how we started. You have to stand up for what you believe in and just go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I like. And if you don't like it, look away, because that's the way I feel about it. And I tell you what, we've had maybe one. I think we made the front page of the local Cofield, and a female reverend wrote back, said we're dabbling in the occult and all this other stuff, and that's the only thing I've ever heard about us in the bad. And I think everybody laughed that off, but our other cases that we've done, some of our top evidence coming out of, I'll tell you, like one of the top EVPs, and I'll let you listen to that one, and it's called the Clem's case, and you all can find this on our Facebook. I don't put it on YouTube, but we do film our investigations. I put them on YouTube. They're, you know, Gary works hard on them. We work hard at it, and it's just to show people what we do in this area. But anyway, this case that we went into, we was asked to come in because the oldest little girl was being woke up in the middle of the night by a little boy wanting her to play with him. Now, this little boy, of course, was a spirit. And so the family wanted us to come in and try to confirm or debunk that. And they believed their little girl, but they wanted to make sure that this spirit was truly a little boy. And we go in, and the mom took the three girls out of the house. And, you know, with kids, you can't be out of the house too long in the car. You know, they drove around for a little bit, and I think we was there for a total of 3 hours. Nothing went on. We was kind of bummed because we was like, oh, man, this sucks. And we come out, and I'm listening over EVPs, and you hear this Gary going, listen, we want to make sure you're not here to hurt these little girls. And the little boy goes, And then he goes, he says it again, he repeats it. He said, listen, we want to make sure you're not here to hurt these little girls. And he plain as day says, I won't hurt them. And like that, I don't know, it pulled at me because I'm a mom, but it was an awesome EVP and undeniable because we were the only ones there. There's no kids there. There's no, especially boys, and you could distinctly tell it was a little boy's voice. So that's something, too, as paranormal investigators, we all know is like some of the calmest cases you go in and don't feel anything or have any kind of experiences. You come out with the best evidence.
So this was a private investigation. You were called in to help just because these girls needed help, and you caught EVP saying that the spirit wasn't going to hurt them?
Yeah, I think that's basically it.
Wow. Well, see, that's good. Yeah,
and
most of our cases are private resident cases.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
One of my favorite cases is the Smith case over in Cowan, Kentucky. We got some really awesome evidence.
Holly, I
dreamed
about that one before
and,
we went.
Yeah. Holly, myself,
what happened
I'm sorry, go.
So what happened on that case?
I was saying, Holly, myself, and the homeowner was sitting up in the attic, which was the teenage son's bedroom, and we were holding just an EVP session. And as we were talking, I kind of felt a presence over toward where the camera was. And I kind of seen it trying to, like, shake the camera or move it or whatever. And as soon as that happened, Jesse, our tech guy, hollers up the stairs. He's like, did somebody move in front of the camera? And we were like, no, nobody's moved. And it just kind of hits you, you know. And you can see it plain as day, just kind of like the screen goes black right when I say that. So we thought
yeah,
that
was
really
awesome.
Cool evidence.
Wow, that's pretty
some
cool.
Some of the... We've dealt with spirit attachments. Michelle's helped with that. We're still helping that family because their daughter is actually very sensitive. And other cases, gosh, we've been on so many cases. And like Michelle said, like 90% of our investigations are residential cases, and these are people that need help. But some of them are just to say, hey, I wanna know. I know my house is haunted, but I just want to know. You know, I want it on here because I don't tell nobody because they don't think I'm crazy, and, you know, it goes from there. But we had a private case, too, where and this is the part of doing what we do and getting involved with some of the people that we do because, let's face it, not every client we have is completely sane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we try our best to weed out them people, but you come in people's houses we come up on this very haunted. I mean, this house could be on TV shows, seriously. Like, it, and that's what they wanted, to be honest with you. They wanted it on a haunted registry for the Historical Society. And the guy there was, and you know, I don't dismiss people's behavior, but when it's obvious that people are really putting on a show for you, you kind of, but and he didn't have to do that because his house we got some awesome EVPs from, and they was along with what we was working with at the time was came up on and. It was a very negative spirit there. There was multiple spirits there. And this house would have been a little treasure chest for a lot of people. And, yeah, he kind of ruined that. But, God, there's so many cases that I'm trying to think of that we've been on, Michelle.
I think I go with cases that are a little bit different because, several of the cases that I've been on with them, we've gotten EVPs or, you know, like weird things have happened or whatever. But I don't know. I think I go at it a little bit different than because I'm in mediumship mode when I go into those places like that. We went to a house, and I won't mention no names, but me and Holly and Dallas were sitting in the room doing an EVP session. And this is a personal experience, but I mean, we were sitting there, and I asked Holly. I said, "Holly, am I touching a cord or something?" I said, "There's something like touching me," and she like took the flashlight and looked back, and I wasn't touching any cords, and there wasn't like no spider webs in my hair, or anything like that. And I mean, I could feel like this like something touching my head, and then it felt like it was squeezing my head, and. It just felt like it was weird. But I don't know if we got any evidence in that case. But Dallas actually saw something, like, squeezing my head. But that's beside the point.
That was actually a shadow person case.
Yeah. So, I think I just want it. I can just go by personal experiences for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, getting scratched at Bobby Mackey's, that was fun.
Well,
yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
Jeez.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I would definitely hear about Bobby Mackey. I've heard lots of stories about there.
Well, I went to Bobby Mackey's once with some friends of mine, and we just went for the 30-minute tour because at Bobby Mackey's they do a 30-minute tour on Friday and Saturday nights when the bars open. And I think everybody knows the story of Bobby Mackey, so I won't go back and go into the whole big details, but it's one of the most haunted nightclubs. You know, Ghost Adventures has been there. All them guys have been there. Anyway, the first time I went there, I was in the well room, and I smelled sulfur and felt like my arms were on fire, and I was physically sick. But the second time that I was there, we were in the room with faces, and I mean, as soon as I walked in the room, it was the instant that I felt like somebody was stabbing me in the gut, and it hurt so bad that I actually went down on my knees. And this is the second time when we did the two-hour investigation. And we were in there, and I told Dallas, I said, I'm just going to step out here. I said, I just don't feel so good. There was a 12-year-old kid with us, and I try not to scare little kids. And as soon as I walked out of that room, but as soon as I walked out of that room, I was like, I called Holly and I said, come look. I said, I just felt like this burning. But I don't know. I have a different opinion probably than what's at Bobby Mackey's than I think what most people here see on TV. So.
Well, Michelle was hearing a humming from a lady, and I actually heard it too, and we picked it up on audio, and we've got it on our Facebook, but at one point,
that's the Bobby Mackey's?
Everybody knows
that
about
the
men's bathroom. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
This is that Bobby Mackey's, this humming sound you heard, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We were upstairs
right.
in the bar area when it was during the day, so it was closed. And I kept hearing this woman humming, and I kept saying, I was like, I kept asking people, do you hear that? Do you hear that? Do you hear that? And because I can ask them, and they'll not think that I'm crazy. But they were actually hearing it, and it was people, too, that were in our group that weren't sensitive were hearing it. And then we, like Holly said, caught it on EVP, and that was pretty cool affirmation there.
Wow. Well, so you guys prefer private cases over the public in places like Bobby Mackey's?
Yes.
Or which?
Yes.
I gotcha.
Yes, because for me personally, you know, and we've been asked before, like if we could investigate anywhere, I'm low level of what I'm doing now. I like going to these places and visiting them. I mean, I do. I really do. But. To me, it's going in these places and not only helping people, but just experiencing these things, being there for whatever amount of time we want to be there, do what we need to do to have a thorough investigation. And that's what we do. We've had businesses, a few businesses, but it's like we have... Well, I actually tell you about it. We had a case Saturday over in Clintwood, Virginia. That's the Smith case. That was a reinvestigation.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk about that in just a second. But next weekend, we have a case in Coburn, Virginia.
Hold on just a second. I'm going to blah, blah, blah while you talk about that.
Okay.
I've got another question from the audience I'd like to bring on real quick.
Okay.
Hello. What is your question, please?
Oh, just how things are beautiful in that area and how much energy is actually down there.
Oh, there is so much energy
it's a hot
here.
There is so much energy that we just can't.
If you think about the history of the area.
Excuse me, sir. Did you say something? I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. Doesn't anybody recognize the voice?
Yes, Howard.
Hey, Howard.
Bum, bum, bum.
Hi, Howard.
I've never talked to him on
the
phone.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to divulge the person's information. That's why I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, just,
You're fine. No, it's
y'all
all good.
Y'all can taste me like it.
Well, I told Ryan I'd come out and play a little bit tonight. So here I am. I'll do what I can while I'm at work.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I appreciate you, definitely appreciate you calling in and adding to the program.
No problem, Ryan, anytime.
I
know,
he
ain't
need
working. You're popping tops over there, don't lie.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm over here doing shots while I'm talking to you guys.
That's so wrong.
Fireball!
Oh, yeah. I took out that Everclear in my car, too. Don't forget. Shit. I'm going to call you for ride home. Shit. So, your question was about the energy down in that Southwest Virginia area. Is that right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we have more boogers, too. Howard knows all about them.
Just that, and you guys knew each other. So, you know, this is great. So, you know, and
I'll tell everybody about our wood booger.
Ba-boom. Your wood burger?
Yeah. That's the word for Bigfoot around here, apparently.
Wood burger. Wow.
Yeah, and you know what that means? Okay, listen, I'm not going to tell you what it means.
No, I don't know
you Google
means.
Google it.
I will do that as soon as I get off the phone with you guys. I have a full report on the Woodburger.
Yeah, you got to Google. I'm a Googler, just saying, you know, I Google everything.
Maybe we can do some squatch hunting down there in that area, Howie. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. We can roll down there sometime. We're more than welcome to have them up here. I said, can you enjoy
it? Oh, yeah.
I know, like, there's a bunch of y'all out there, and there's like,
Well,
that's my old neck of the woods out there. I'm sorry.
Y'all probably get lost. Let me tell you, if you see the pound sign, you better turn, okay? Because if you blink, that's it. We got one red light, that's it.
Oh, chat up.
Oh, bro. I know.
Earlier, I said, listen.
So, I mean, I used to go hang out in, like, Giles County and Pulaski and all those places.
Oh, yeah, we're way over here. We're
area.
Right at the Kentucky line.
I drive through there a lot.
So that's like
one of my good buddies was out that way.
Hunting?
One rapid.
Yeah, I drive up 80.
Yeah, it's a neat place.
Well, I guess I'll continue about the Smith case that we've done.
Oh, yeah. Did you have any questions, any more questions, Howard? Or...
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to go, boo, let you know, Ryan, that I was here and say hi to the ladies and my friend there.
Well,
make
I
sure
definitely appreciate you definitely appreciate you calling in. And if you want to stay on and ask questions as we go along, please feel free, okay?
Yeah, I'll be glad to
stay on. Awesome. Thanks for calling, Howard.
All right.
Oh, y'all.
Well, appreciate it. Like I said, if you want to keep on, if you want to ask more questions, you know, definitely, just, you know, chime in whenever you can, okay?
Just keep me on, and I'll keep you on mute, and I'll jump in.
All right, I appreciate it. All right. So, back to the Smith case you were discussing.
Yeah, that was the investigation we done Saturday night, and it was just me, Tech, and we actually had, they are a small group that's been around here for a while, and they kind of do, and we, you know, handed, you know, put our hand out to help, but his name's Daryl, and he came on the investigation with us and brought along his IR, Kim, so really helpful to us. But anyway, on this case, a little backstory, because this was a reinvestigation for us, and we had just went back there, well, we had, first time there was in November, and we had just the lower key kind of cams, you know, what we started out with, and we had actually captured and what we think, I mean, obviously, because I'm not one to be, like, easily took with evidence, because you really have to look at the environment and everything, but it looks just like an apparition walking up these stairs, and you can just see, like, the legs part. And what sucks about it is because I know a lot of people will go in and look at it and say, I don't see nothing, but you have to really look, because when I put the video through the editor, it automatically lightened it up, which pissed me off. We wanted to go reinvest.
Have you been, have there been investigators at this location before you got there, or is it a fresh case?
No, we're like, and see this picture that I posted, her dad took 3 years ago, and I mean, it's coincidence. I don't know. I mean, people can call it coincidence, but I think it's too eerily similar on video. You can see this big mist, and I'm not, when I'm looking at somebody else's photos, I don't like doing it, to be honest with you, because I don't know the surroundings. I wasn't there, so it makes it harder for me, and I'm very skeptic when it comes to it.
Yeah,
so
what was in there before, you know, or it could have been someone standing outside. They didn't notice or something. Standing in there, you didn't see them. You know, they notice.
Exactly. And I see a lot of people come to us with stuff and it ends up being Matrix, you know, Matrix. And I can't, you know, you can't, some people get pissed off and they don't want to hear it. And I don't want to be in the middle of it and I don't want to be the one to tell you that it's not really an orb, it's dust or the mailman or, you know, whatever.
Well, it's like those people who see orbs everywhere they go. And you're like, well, that's just
dust. Oh, my God, yes. I just have to keep scrolling, honey. I keep scrolling.
Can you explain all these orbs? Dirt. There we go. Dirt ghosts.
Yeah, and the circles.
You know what orbs stand for? Often round bullshit. That's what orbs stand for.
True that. this owner, Cam, it's the first thing that I've ever seen like that, going over any of our evidence over the past 3 years. And it was, for me, like I said, we're all, yes, we know this stuff exists. Yes, we believe. But when we go into people's homes, we are very skeptic, even when we're going on over our own evidence, because there's been time where we're like, holy shit, what's that? Oh, man, like an hour later we figure out it's a rope, like hanging from the ceiling or something. You know, I mean, we all debunk our own stuff and, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, she wanted to go back. She wanted us to come back. And we did that Saturday, and we are still going over video evidence, but we did capture some EVPs there.
Before,
we have no idea what was there. So
I've got
enlisted in the help of the Historical Society.
I've got a question regarding, like, as far as, like, evidence and stuff. Do you prefer to be the first team to go into a location as far as a private residence? Do you think you get better evidence that way?
Well, I'm going to put it this way. We've been into, let's say, one case where another team went in, but, and I hate to say it, who's coming in after them. So, yeah.
Well, I mean,
it was not a good situation.
I think you're breaking up a little bit, so I'm a hard time understanding your answer.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just you're going in and out, so I had a hard time understanding what you were saying. If you're hearing what you just said, I'd appreciate it because
Go ahead, Michelle.
I was just going to say, really, Holly likes to go places that nobody's been before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that new discovery type thing for her. And it's good to go places that people have never been before because, obviously, I think most places need to be investigated, especially if clients are having issues. But to go places that have been investigated by several different groups is also excellent. It's good to help hone your skills and your abilities as a paranormal investigator.
That's very true.
So I think that's where those come in. Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, what I was fighting is it was more of a cleanup than trying to learn something from it because these people were in desperate help. So, you know, when it comes to places like Bobby Mackey's, it's what it is. It's a tour to me, you know. You go in and pay money to experience.
Are there places that you've been to and you got a lot of cool evidence but you want to go back to maybe develop or maybe some spiritual get used to you being there and maybe they'll come out and, you know, give you more evidence? You think if you go back again?
Like this Smith residence, Andy has really opened her home up, and she's going, you know, she's welcoming newer groups because they are new groups in that area that's broke out ever since we started, and I love it. Like, I absolutely love it because I feel like that we have really opened it up for other people. I know there's a young group just newly founded in our area. And, you know, Andy's opened her home up and welcomed newer groups if they wanted to come in after we was there. I mean, I have no issues with that. I just like being in places that have never been touched before. I don't know. It's just something I like.
Well,
I don't know.
It's
in the future.
Yeah, but it's something new about it. Because you know you're the first one to get that evidence. And you go to, let's go to St. Albans, and you hear a kid crying on an EVP. How many people have gotten a kid crying on an EVP at St. Albans?
Right.
But you go to some Taliesin, you catch a kid crying. That's like, oh, my God. But, you know, obviously you still get excited for each EVP, but it's a different level of excitement for it. You know what I'm saying?
I think your evidence has more personal meaning.
Yeah, and you're helping a family out. I mean, you're helping
you're helping
get evidence for them so they can use it to make money, you know. But if you're helping, like we talked about earlier, being a support system for the people who are scared to come out because they think people will make fun of them or, you know, call them freaks or whatever.
And then you also have, and this is what we're dealing with right now, I believe everybody is born with abilities. We're just taught to shut them out. But you also have kids with disabilities like autism and ADD, ADHD. Who are we, not, you know, to say that that's not the normal? And them kids are, I mean, they're so gifted. My middle son has abilities also. He is so stubborn and he doesn't want to talk about them. And I'm the mom. I'm like the Amy Duncan of moms. This is my kid. I embarrass the hell out of my kids. And that's what they call me. But,
Good luck, Charlie reference. Okay.
Well, you know, my youngest will tell you that I twerk all the time, so, yeah. That's what he tells everybody. He tells them I feed them lettuce all the time, and all I do is twerk.
Well, you're not too old to twerk. I mean, that's you know.
Well, you know what's so funny about it, though? He tells everybody I twerk all the time, but he's the one that goes around the house twerking, and he's a great little twerker. He's just saving.
He's a great little twerker. Does he whistle while he twerks?
Talking about kids. What?
If I tried twerking once, it didn't work out too well.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I've talked with a lady and worked with hopefully can work with her son, and I won't mention any names on it, you know, on here or anything. But he definitely has abilities, and I know he has abilities, and I think he also definitely has some issues. And I would never go against, and I tell these people this all the time, I would never go against medical advice because I'm not a medical doctor, nor am I a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I can only tell you what I see and what I experience. And I definitely picked, I did a reading for her, and I definitely picked up on the exact same things that her son was telling her was happening in his room and the experiences that she was having. But, he told his doctor what was going on. And now they're, you know, thinking schizophrenia might be a possibility. So that's always, to me, a fine line there when you're helping kids with abilities, too, is you really still have to, I tell people all the time, you're their parent, and you need to go with your gut feeling on it and do what you think is best for your child. And don't ever go against medical professionals or psychiatrists or psychologists. Because I know I'm not one of those professionals, but that I could validate that experience that her son was having those same experiences helped her out, I think, a whole lot with the whole she doesn't understand everything already.
Exactly. It scares her.
But I think that it's helped her some to know that, you know, maybe that is something her son really is experiencing and not something that she saw in his head.
Well, I think that's the worst thing you can tell your kids. It's all in your head, you know?
You're not there to diagnose the kid either. I mean, you're there to help and just give them your opinion and stuff and say, hey, this is
exactly.
It's like if they don't take medical advice and something bad happens, they'll come to you and go, what the hell? Why'd you tell me this? And now my son's doing all this. You're like, well.
And And that's what I tell people.
Well, see, this is my thing. This is why I love these parents who are so open-minded. And Miss Emily that we're working with, and Michaela, all these kids that we're working with, I mean, kudos to the parents, hugs to the parents, and I do. I'm a hugger. I like to give everybody hippie hugs. But, you know, they're like, Holly, you know.
I expect a big hug when I come down to see you, all right?
Yes, exactly. I'm a hugger. I hug everybody.
All right, good. I like hugs, too. I like big hugs.
It sends good vibes, good energy.
That's right. Holly says she's working with them, but she's really twerking with them.
Oh, that's it. Twerking with the
Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did on the last case. I was in front of the camera. We have.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. I lost you guys for a second there. Always off twerking somewhere, you know, shit. I know what her paranormal detector is, not her hands, her butt starts shaking. Like, oh my God,
that's what it is.
I'm just twerking.
That's definitely Holly. She's full of energy all the time.
Oh, that's good to have, though, man. You've got to have that positive energy. Especially in this line of field, I'm saying line of work, but it's line of work. But this field, you got to have a positive attitude, you know, because you go out there with this like all pissed off the world attitude, you know, the spiritual, attach it and make it your pissed off the world attitude a lot worse. It affects your whole life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
That's one reason.
Go ahead, Michelle.
I was going to say that's one reason that I try to get people to meditate and ground and center, especially going into investigations, because that way you get off, you know, because we all have issues and stuff that's going on in our everyday life. But a lot of times you take that in, and certain entities will feed off those things and can turn them back against you, so it's best to go in with a clear mind and, you know, kind of relaxed and ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Before we go on our investigations, we go outside the house, let the house calm down a bit, and we just kind of talk and chill out, clear our minds of any negative thoughts that they can latch onto, and then we have a little circle prayer. Our deal is the power of three. The triangle, and then we say a prayer to the archangels, and then we go into our location. But we always make sure that we have a clear head when we go in, so they won't have any negative thoughts or anything to attach onto.
Exactly.
Howard does a great job of telling us to clear your mind and make sure you leave everything outside. When we go inside, we're positive. And we don't give them anything negative to latch on to.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, but that's my big thing is, you know, you want to be as positive as you can.
Mm-hmm. And plus it helps to have a positive attitude when talking to people about the paranormal.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, because most of the time when we go in and we deal with the clients, they're terrified, you know, of the things that are happening. And a lot of times they think that it's demonic or something it's not necessarily, you know, that's just something that they've grown up to, you know, to believe, you know, that it's true or whatever, so.
Yeah, and they're going through stuff, and they need a friendly face, someone they feel like they can talk to or call anytime and say, and you pick up the phone and you'd be like, hey, let's say, how you doing, you know? Because, I mean, and that's a good thing to have, you know, have a good attitude towards people.
Yeah,
and I tell people all the time. Go ahead, Dallas.
No, you go ahead. That's fine.
I was going to say, to me, it's all about education, because the more we know, the less we fear. And I think that's what all paranormal groups, really, their goal is to learn more about, you know, what's out there other than what we can see in the physical realm. And the more we learn and the more we share information with each other and experiences with each other and the more we talk about it and get other people talking about it, the less they fear those experiences. And so, you know, then it's not such a scary experience anymore. It's, okay, this happened. We don't understand it exactly yet, but we're getting there. So.
But I think the advent of Facebook and Internet and, you know, all these groups that are on Facebook, like, they've brought us together, the paranormal community together. People talk to each other, even the radio show we're doing right now, talking about it. And people who listen in, you know, maybe they learned something they didn't know before. It's all about getting the word out there.
It is. It's just, I think one of the bigger issues with the paranormal community in general is there's just so many theories about why certain activities happen, or like shadow people. Like some people think all shadow people are bad, or you know they're all out to hurt you, and we don't really know what those things are, but we all have different beliefs on where they come from and originate from.
Yeah. And a lot of times people, people who think they know everything, you know, they can maybe keep their egos in check sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes I need to keep my ego in check. It's all about just kind of, you know, don't think you know everything because you really don't.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, and
there's always more to learn.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. So it's the thing like I said before. Think you know everything, and something else comes along and throws a monkey wrench at everything you thought you knew, and you're like, oh crap. Well, there goes my theory out the window.
Well, that's one of the things that happened to me when I first went to Bobby Mackey's. Is I had such an intense physical experience there that it really made me stop and question a lot of things, and I think that happens to a lot of people with intense paranormal experiences, that makes you stop and question lots of things, but that's not always a bad thing. That's sometimes a good thing, that you have to stop and reevaluate things.
Well, it's hard to know all there is to know when you're dealing with something that's intangible. You know, you can't see it. You only see it when it wants to be seen. You can only hear it when it wants to be heard. You know? So, I mean, for me, that's why I think people have a hard time, or science has a hard time with it, because it's not right in front of your face, you know?
Yeah, people believe what they actually see, and it's hard to buy into that for a lot of people when they're not able to see it, you know?
But then you have people, there's people who believe in God, and you know, He's not right in front of our faces either. So it's like,
exactly.
Okay, you believe in this, we won't believe in that. You know?
Well,
everybody's perception is different.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Oh, no, I always just kind of think that that's a... I don't know. I was raised in the Christian church, and I guess I see both perspectives there. But, you know,
well, I'm not putting down
the Bible
religion.
Does.
I'm not trying to put down
yeah,
religion.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that at all. I was just thinking in my head that the Bible actually talks about different like paranormal type experiences, and I think it's the Bible's like the Constitution. It's how it's read and interpreted, and that's just, I guess, in my mind, that's what I was thinking.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
not to get into a theological debate or anything.
Well, I understand. I can't be a bit. I don't. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be able to debate that, anyways. But you know, it's all the Bible was written by man, and it's all been, you know, handed down. So you often wonder how much of the Word of God has actually been filtered out by man's opinion of what should be in the Bible. You know,
I tell people one of the most influential books or movies that changed a lot of things for me was The Da Vinci Code. And even though I know that's Dan Brown wrote it into a fictional piece, It still made me stop and reevaluate and look at a lot of things spiritually.
Well, I mean, but God gave us free will, and He has free will to think and you know, ask questions. Because if you ask questions, then you get the answers. You don't just follow blindly. You ask questions. You seek the truth. That's what we do as investigators. We're truth seekers. We seek the truth in all aspects of life. You know, spiritually, physically, religiously.
Yes.
You know.
And that's why I try to tell people that we have to find our own spiritual truth, and that nobody's right or wrong, but we have to find the path that works best for us.
Exactly, and that's a good way to live. That way, you're not isolating people because they believe something you don't. You know, it's as long as you hold on to what you believe in and use that as protection and stuff. You know. Well, we're getting close to the end of the line here on our journey through the paranormal with Black Mountain Paranormal Society. Where did you guys come up with the name Black Mountain Paranormal Society? Do you live near Black Mountain or something, or is this?
We do, actually. Black Mountain, we actually have the highest peak in Kentucky, and it's considered Black Mountain, and we live at the foothills of that. So, we thought it would be a good idea to just go with the Black Mountain Paranormal Society.
Very appropriate. I like that.
Holly's still with us. She says that we just can't hear her. I can't hear her at all. I don't know about you all.
Well, she was coming in and out a lot on my on the phone, so I don't know. I thought maybe it was my phone, but you can't hear either. I guess it's not. Well, if she's still on, I certainly appreciate her calling in and talking with us. Do you guys have anything up? Anything coming up in the future?
We have a couple cases. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say what you said. We have a couple cases coming up. One's in Coburn, Virginia, and then August the 2nd, we're having a public meet and greet again in the city of Vico, which we're hoping to investigate the town hall building. And Michelle knows a little bit more about that, but we're pretty excited about everything that's coming up.
Yeah, that's still kind of in planning stages. We're hoping to actually get into several buildings within the town.
Oh, good. Sorry, I guess kind of spaced out for a second there.
No, you're fine.
Sorry, it's been a long week. So, you got that going on. Any more investigations you got coming up?
We've got one in next weekend in Coburn, right?
Then we've got the meet and greet coming up, and we take them as people call, you know.
Getting ready to schedule an investigation on a property that we've already investigated and to follow upon. But there's a mobile home there that has some very negative energy in it, and I really want to get in there and investigate it and see what's going on. I think we're going to schedule that real soon, too.
You could slice the energy, you know, with your finger in the air. It's so thick in there. So we're pretty pumped about that.
I got one quick question before I let you guys go. With your, in your experience, what time of year do you think is the best time of year to go investigate? What time do you think for like the fall, winter, spring, summer?
I think the most activity that we get generally tends to be in the fall time. And Holly
that's
might disagree with me, I don't know.
I would say the fall. That's my personal experience. That's where I've had most of my experiences at, is in the fall and the winter.
Me too.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think summertime you get too much noise pollution and stuff. With the bugs and everything like that. And I think the air is more clear in the wintertime.
Well,
I think so too.
I have theories on all that stuff. I mean, it's just my little scientific brain over it working way too much. I think it has to do with, like, the sun positioning and all that stuff, but also being a following a pagan path that, you know, we've got Samhain that happens during that time, Halloween, whatever. I think that's what most people know it as. And it's just that type of the type of energy that's out there in general.
Well, I'd like to thank you guys for coming on the show with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It was great talking with you guys.
Definitely.
Well, I want to thank Howard for calling in as well with his questions. Actually, there's Holly.
Huh?
I'll call you back
on.
Oh,
God, I've been dying over here.
I told you I got walking around.
Sorry. I'm like, I'm pacing. I was wanting to get into that conversation so bad. I was sitting here talking, too. I felt like a big retard. I was really getting this conversation going. Anyway,
I'm sorry about that.
Being on.
I didn't see you.
Yeah, that's why I was like, Michelle, tell him I'm out of here.
Well, I just want to thank you for coming on the show, and we'll definitely have you on again. For sure.
Yeah, we enjoy ourselves. We love, like, kicking back and talking about all the good stuff. And you know, it's all united, unity and all that. And I just want to make a comment about the, you know, I heard y'all talking about religion and the Bible and everything and whatnot. I wanted to comment on that real quick because I was antsy over here. I was trying to talk and, yeah. But, you know, everybody has their different religions. And like I said, remember the big tent with the arrow pointing to it? It's all one. We're all one. People need to realize that and respect each other's beliefs, of course, but I also believe that people really need to open their minds. Paranormal, I think, awakening is a part of it, and I also feel like all these kids that we're helping right now and all the activity that we're seeing that's spiking up, I feel like it has a lot to do with, you know, with the process of, I feel like things are moving, like, in the new agey kind of way, but I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but I definitely feel movement coming on with awakening and everything. So, yeah, don't throw your Bibles at nobody and try not to shove your religion down nobody else's throat. Just, you know, love one another and respect.
Well, that's very true. That's very true.
Yes. Much love. Thanks for having us.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. I really do. And hopefully we'll get together in the future.
Definitely. Yeah, we need to. Definitely.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you very much. Thanks again, Howie, for calling in. Thank you, Dallas, Michelle, and Holly.
Thank you, Howie.
And
thank you, Ron.
Oh, well, thank you. I think I appreciate you guys putting up with me for 2 hours.
Oh, how do you have to go all night? Okay,
all right,
that was
guys.
So bad. Anyway.
Okay. I know about you and your twerking.
Yeah.
All right, I'll run through off the air here, so I'm going to say goodbye to you guys now.
Okay, we want to say bye to all of our fans. Everybody listening, thanks for listening.
Yes, we certainly appreciate everyone who's listening in and listening in on their smartphones and on their computers.
We love you guys
very much.
And yes, Gary, David, all y'all listening, we love you guys.
Yes, thank you very much. All right, I'll miss you. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night. Have a good one.
You too.